Today on Real Radio.
When Jesus was on earth, he was localized. He allowed himself to be localized to his body. He said, it's best for you that I leave, because once I leave, that's when the church will be born, because the Holy Spirit will be everywhere.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the last two verses of chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians. It's a brief mention by the apostle that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is not only transformation, but also freedom. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Here is Liberty.
Verse 17 says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, and I deliberately stopped right there at that is. What does is mean? Is and where are connected together in the argument. And where the Spirit of the Lord is. Try to grab this. If you don't, it's not you. It's my inability to teach it. Where he is implies he's everywhere. And he liberates you from what the is. The is the situation. The is the event. The is the dynamic you're in. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, he's everywhere. Nothing can be happening to me right now that he does not know of. And we all have our things, our monumental issues. And we've got to leave church today remembering this verse, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where the Lord is, oh, well, he's here. That's right. He's in your car waiting for you to get back in it. He's at your home waiting for you to get home. He's at the restaurant waiting for you to get there. What are you doing today? You're going to go to a Super Bowl? Gee whiz. Who's playing? The Rams are playing the Goats today? Wherever you go, he's going to be there. And he's the teacher. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the presence of the Holy Spirit, listen, everybody, is what qualifies you and I in being a Christian. My 2.5-year-old granddaughter yesterday announced deep theological truth. I kid you not. Her mom asked her yesterday when she was leaving the house, our house last night. Rebecca said, watch this. I said, okay. And she said, Emmeline, where's Jesus? And she said, in my heart. That is absolute deep theological truth. That is so deep, only a 2.5-year-old can really get it. Because let me tell you, to a child, and Jesus said we need to become like children. To her, she doesn't have to explain it. She doesn't have to understand it. But she understands Jesus is in my heart. The math doesn't work. Her body size doesn't work. How does God fit in my heart? And she's got it. Most kids, right? If not all kids get that. They just get it. That is absolutely true. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, and if you're a believer, the great liberator is there to teach you. Christian, write that down. You never have to be afraid of being led astray by God. I've heard somebody say, well, if I pray to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will I get possessed? Well, I hope so, by the Holy Spirit. Well, won't Satan come in? Oh, that's just great. God sticks an open house on your heart and allows Satan to move in. I don't think so. When you say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, come upon me. I don't care what terminology you use. Baptize me with your power and your strength. God comes upon you. The Holy Spirit fills your life. Listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. That's another word for teaching. Into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit's job is to teach you. And he will tell you things to come. Really? Should the Christian then know, sense in his gut, what's coming regarding the future? I'm not talking about the day or the hour. I'm talking about when you can discern these are interesting times. Or we need to get ready. Or there's a great moment. There's a great opportunity coming for God. I believe, based upon what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will instruct and guide you into a relevant Christian life. Verse 14, he will glorify me. So wherever the Holy Spirit is at work, Jesus will be exalted, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The word in Hebrew is morial. God is my teacher. Christian, listen, we don't have time to go there, but 1 John chapter 1, you ought to read it slowly. Why? It says in John chapter 1, the Holy Spirit, and chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, 1 John 1 and 2, is your teacher. Isn't that great? You say, what are you doing then up here? Because this is supposed to be the gift of teaching by the Holy Spirit at work right now. But listen, this only accents what I'm doing, the corporate body of Christ here and now. What do I mean by that? Church, you know by now that this is whipped cream on your week. This is A1 on your steak. This is the cherry on top of what? Of your day-to-day living with Jesus. On your day, Sunday is your day. It's the first day of the week, Sunday. Monday is the second day of the week. It's the first day of the week that gets you ready to live for God. Why? Because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, onward, it never stops. The Christian lives for God. And us coming together is what the Bible calls a holy convocation. That is, all of God's people on the first day of the week come together and, as it were, we get our bearings either straightened or readjusted or encouraged. But when you open up the Bible tonight or tomorrow, guess who's there to teach you? The Holy Spirit of God. He will exalt Jesus Christ. He will honor the Word of God. He will not deviate from that. He will not produce or give or play with you with false doctrine. He's the God of the Word. And he will exalt Jesus. And he will guide you into all truth. Listen, this is personal. You may not, repeat what I'm saying unless you're convinced of it. I personally am. When I hear about people who, quote, for example, say that they're Christians, but now they're going after some pagan doctrine or some anti-biblical, anti-Christ doctrine, I don't think they were ever Christians. If somebody who was never a Christian goes after some religion and embraces their crazy teaching, and then you try to show them that the Bible says, then they'll tell you that their leader says, and it's their leader against the Bible. Listen, you're talking about a person who's been influenced, according to the Bible, it says, by doctrines of demons. Radical, huh? Now, I'm not saying that your friend who may be in a cult has fangs and a little stubby, point on the end of his tail. But he's heading in that direction if he keeps hanging out with stuff like that. The Bible says that there are demonic powers in the world to spread false doctrine to get people away from the truth. And the truth is the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And that's comforting. I like that. If you hear anything in these Bible studies at this church or from anybody on staff or from anybody in the parking lot or somebody you're talking to, hold it up against the Word of God. The Bible is the ultimate judge. The Holy Spirit illuminates and gives us understanding. 7 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's comforting, isn't it? John 16:5. But now I go away to him, Jesus said to the disciples who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Verse 6, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Pause right there, look at your Bible. The disciples, they're hearing now Jesus is leaving. I don't know about you, but I'd be bummed with them, right? Wouldn't you be bummed? So what do you mean you're leaving? I mean, you're the most fantastic thing that's ever happened. And you're leaving? Why are you going? Everything's going great. Well, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. What could possibly be better than being face to face with Jesus and walking around. Pause right there. Listen, what could be better is Jesus being localized in his skin could only be one place at one time. Hello? The Holy Spirit, I love the old King James. What is the Holy Spirit? How does the old King James, the Holy Ghost, right? You say, oh, what's that? Like Casper. What? Ghost? What? No, just calm down. The Holy Ghost, in the sense that he is everywhere. When Jesus was on earth, he was localized. He allowed himself to be localized to his body. He said, it's best for you that I leave, because once I leave, that's when the church will be born, because the Holy Spirit will be everywhere. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, that's his name, Helper, Parakletos, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. What's the evidence that Jesus made it before his Father in heaven? What's the evidence? What's the evidence that Jesus arrived? Holy Spirit came. When I get there, I'll send him to you. Isn't that amazing? And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. He's doing that right now. He just has more of it to do these days. And of righteousness, showing us the right way. And of judgment. Everybody discerns and feels in their gut there's a day of reckoning coming. Even the atheist. There's this foreboding that's even in the atheist mind that things may not turn out the way that I hope. And for us as Christians, the Bible tells us that Jesus on the cross was judged for us there, that we would never be judged by God again. Did you know that? You and I, listen, you and I as Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ regarding the opportunities of ministry given to us, but not for sin. Is that awesome? Jesus took your sin debt and guilt at the cross and liberated you, set you free. Because the ruler, he says, of this world has been judged. That is Satan. When was Satan judged? When Jesus died at the cross. I love it. Well, yeah, but the Bible says he's like a lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. That's true. Read the Bible carefully. He is like a lion. He's not a lion. He's like a lion. But if you look real close, the Bible clearly indicates that when Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave, that one who's like a lion has got no teeth. He growls really loud. He's really mean. And you stand there and, oh, Satan's going to get me. And then he goes, come here, come here. I'm going to give you. The third thing under this is freedom. The great liberator is, in fact, our freedom. There is liberty. Look at that at the end of verse 17. Liberty! Can you imagine the people throughout history that this verse is ministered to? There is liberty. What does the word liberty mean? It means exactly what I think you know it means. Liberty. To be completely and absolutely set free, irregardless of circumstance. Do you know this? Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Note the connection. Jesus Christ, what he did. The Holy Spirit, what his work is. These are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Then you're a son of God, a daughter of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That is, you've been set free, liberated. But you did receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba in Hebrew, Papa in Italian. Have you not been liberated? So much that the Bible says, God says, call me dad. Can you do that? Oh, I don't know. That's kind of sacrilegious. If you're a legalistic person, I could understand where you're coming from, but I'm not. I used to be, but I'm not. I'm a son. And a son turns to his dad and says, dad. And of course, a girl turns to her dad and says, daddy. Dad's cool, but daddy just, what do you want? Wallet, keys, what is it? Right? It's just amazing. Wow. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 1, this is a verse, if you and I have ever talked anywhere and you've got something gripping your life, Galatians 5:1 is the verse that I most often give you, because it's a verse that has liberated me and set me free from tremendous things in my life. So please write this verse down. You don't have to get this prescription filled. You don't have to go spend any money for this. And I'm telling you right now, this did for me what no prescription could ever accomplish. What I'm going to give you in a moment gave me power and freedom from stuff that most people, it could kill them in life, or they never shake it, or whatever it is. I'm going to give it to you right now. You ready? Say, shut up and give it to me. Here it is, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You have a temper? That was my big scourge in life, is my temper. This verse, I copied it out. Back in those days, there were Xerox machines. Computer, for the public anyway, had not yet been invented. We had typewriters. And I put this verse all over. When I got saved in 1977, I put verses up all over my bedroom, in my car. I put them up at work. This headed up the list of verses right here. I was so set before coming to Christ to right the wrongs in my life that had been done against me, I was on a crusade. I won't tell you the things that happened to me in life, but I was out to hunt them down. And that's okay, you know what? I would have been a great terrorist because I thought, I'll get him in 5 years. I'll get her in 3. And I'm going to wait 18 months to get him. And then Jesus messed up the whole plan. I systematically hunted my offenders. And the Lord gave me this verse. And I remember saying, Lord, what am I going to do with my life if I don't have this to do? And he said, I'm sure he must have said to me, I'll think of something for you to do. Second point is this. Here is liberty. The Lord is our transformer. The Lord is our transformer, but we... He says, verse 18, with unveiled face. Keep that in mind with the context of this chapter's teaching. Moses' face had been veiled. No, we have an unveiled face. Think of the theological glories this is telling us about. Beholding, it just gets better, as in a mirror. That's crystal clear. The glory of the Lord, and it gets better. And being transformed. The word being is actually in the present tense. We are constantly being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Constantly He's at work. If you're sick or not, if you're happy or not, if the sun is out or not, if you feel like it or not, God is still working. Isn't that awesome? And working in your life. He does it this way, revelation. He's our revelation. Verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled face. The word means that God is revealing Himself to the Christian today. The person, listen, He's not revealing Himself to the Christian because the person has attached the Christian label. Forgive me. He is saying this, I will unveil the face of the person who's longing for me, which should be the Christian. Hello. Do you want me in your life? Yes. Then come and be a Christ follower. A Christian. And what will happen to me, Lord? I will take away the veil, and you and I will converse with each other in the spiritual realm with an unveiled face. Oh. It's by revelation. The second thing is by illumination. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What Moses saw, this is amazing. I don't even feel like saying it, it's so amazing. I should take my shoes off before I say what I'm about to say. Moses interacted with God as close as you could possibly get when God said to the children of Israel, I don't speak to anybody else on the planet like I do with Moses. Him I speak face to face. When you and I read in the English face to face, it's not face to face like you and I think. It's as close as they could possibly have gotten. That's how we talk. That's the atmosphere. God could only get so close to Moses, or else what would happen to Moses? Because God's not a human. And he's light. You think going to the doctor, getting an x-ray machine? It's funny, huh? The guy takes an x-ray of you. They go back behind a wall with lead and a robe on, a lead thing. Okay, you ready? You don't feel anything. But man, in the scientific realm, that's invisible to you. Your body just got hit by a very, very nasty thing. I got a friend that flies 3 times a week. Every day for 14 years now. Well, I say every day. He's off 2 days a week. I'm talking about Tony Perkins. The guy flies more than any human being I've ever known. And he's over the limit of getting bombarded with radiation from airports. So when we're down in Louisiana goofing around, we'll use him out front as a light bulb. Get some gator hunting out there. No, I'm kidding, but I'm serious. It's not good. If that's true in the physical realm, imagine the glory of God. And the Bible says that he shined before Moses, and Moses, who was in hiding, think about it. What did God say? Moses says, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me, you're going to die. Ah, but I tell you what, you'll see where I've been. Isn't that amazing? You can only see where I've been. I'm so powerful that when I go by, I affect things when I go by. So I tell you what I do. I'm going to put you inside the crack of this big rock. There's a crack in that rock. puts him inside there and then covers Moses' face. God passes by and lifts his hand, and Moses gets to see what is called the effervescence or the afterglow. It's where God was, and his face lit up. He came down the mountain, and the children of Israel were going, look at that face. And Moses veiled his face. Why am I saying this again to you week after week? Because this verse, verse 18, God says, forget all that stuff on the mountain and the atmosphere and the science of it all. Forget that junk. Forget the stuff about getting a suntan when I pass by. Forget it. That's of another testament. That was then, and the fulfillment of it is now. When I talk to my kids and my kids talk to me in the spirit, it's face to face, unveiled. Why do we doubt when we pray? Why do we doubt? Don't we doubt? You don't? I do. I have doubts sometimes. I don't doubt his existence. I doubt if he's going to do this. And it's funny. I have a lot of faith that I pray for you, Robin. God, heal her. And I'm going, yes. And then I stub my toe. Oh, God, heal me. And I'm like, will you really? Do you love me that much? Are we funny people? The Bible, this is the Bible, the inerrant, holy, perfect Word of God is announcing to you this morning, when you talk to me, it's face to face. I can't see you, God, I can't. Yeah, you know what? In a sense, we see Him more clearly.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Here is Liberty, taken from the final 2 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul writes about freedom and transformation in the life of the true believer. Here is Liberty is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember the Engage conference, which we held back in July? It was mostly in response to the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court on what many folks call same-sex marriage, and how true believers are to handle the situation in our day and culture. Well, a lot of folks who were unable to attend have gotten in touch and asked about the audio of the Engage conference. Now, if you were unable to attend, yet you wanted to, here's some good news. You can purchase the audio of the entire conference on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. Real Life with Jack Hibbs .org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.